Technology is a wonderful thing. When it works. All right. Before we begin tonight, let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are the God that you are and that we can come to you with everything. With the things that we praise you for, Father, and with the things that we need help with. We ask that you help us tonight to understand your word, understand the message that you have for us. Help us to work through your word, Father, and to take from it what you will have us take from it. We praise you that we can come to your house, we can gather under your roof, read and understand your word. We ask for your presence here tonight and your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wanted to start out tonight by asking us a couple of questions. Just something to think about while I'm going through the Word of God tonight. And the first is, how is our Christian walk? How are we doing on a day-to-day basis? I think that as Christians, that is an important thing for us to ask. To look at our lives and see, do we see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, or do we see the fruit of the flesh? Pastor Don has been going through Romans lately, and it's really been convicting me at times and uplifting me at other times, really nailing me to the floor. And at the same time, really, really lifting me up. And this morning, he kind of stole what I was going to be preaching about tonight. They got a little taste of it yesterday at the Tweener's barbecue. But what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about love, and I want to talk about holiness. I want to talk about hate, and I want to talk about sin. While we're going through this, though, I want us to be thinking about how are we doing. Not how our neighbor is doing, but how are we doing with our walk with God. Love, holiness, hate, and sin. The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? I want to contrast the fruit of the Spirit with the fruit of the flesh. Our walk with those who are not in the family of God. Paul is a great example of that. We take a look at the life of Paul and we see almost two different people, because in truth, we have Paul before he was saved, before his Damascus Road experience, and we have Paul after he was saved. Before he was saved, he was complicit, encouraging in the death, the martyrhood of Stephen. He was going to Damascus to persecute Christians, drag them back in chains to imprison them. And we remember what Jesus said to Paul on the road to Damascus. He was Saul then. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Isn't that us before we're saved? When we are openly hostile to God, to everything that God has for us, to everything that God says, we are persecuting God before we are saved. We are openly hostile to God, just as Paul was. And then Paul has his Damascus Road experience, and we see him change 180 degrees. He goes from persecuting Christians to exhorting and encouraging them, even while he himself is in chains. Paul is in prison. He is imprisoned. He does not know if he is going to get out of prison alive. And he is writing to Christians and talking to people in his imprisonment and saying encouraging things, uplifting things. It's not about Paul. It's not about the circumstances of Paul's life. It is only about Christ. He went from persecuting to exhorting and encouraging from prison. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. And we read Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, kind of continuing on in our series in 1 Thessalonians. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints, all His saints. An interesting thing to point out in verse 11, now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct. The direct is singular in the Greek. Paul here is acknowledging not only the deity of Christ, but His equalness with God the Father. We've talked in the past about how the Jewish people had a difficult time seeing Christ as being equal to God, seeing Christ as the Messiah. Paul was a Pharisee. He was the Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? Here he is acknowledging the deity of Christ and His equalness to God. Paul had been hindered in coming to see those in Thessalonica. Satan had hindered him, but what we fail to realize sometimes is that God had allowed that to happen. God is sovereign over all. God is sovereign over the good things that happen to us, over what we view as the bad things that happen to us, and over the obstacles that come in our way. I do not know why God allowed Satan to hinder Paul here, but one of the commentators that I read this past week said something very interesting. Had God allowed Paul unfettered access to the church in Thessalonica, he would have gone. He would have been there the next day if he could have. But because he was hindered, we have 2 Thessalonians, right? If Paul had been able to go to the church, he may have reached a handful of people. Think of how many people from then till now have read and gathered from that God's word to them from the book of 2 Thessalonians. God was able to reach more people by hindering Paul than if he had just let him go. In verse 12, Paul wants the Lord to make them to increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as Paul and those with him had done to the church. And this is what nails me to the floor sometimes, because right on the heels of reading that verse, in my mind, the question struck me, are we abounding in love to one another? Pastor Adam, are you abounding in love to your fellow Christians? And the answer to that is sometimes, but not always. You know, we have a problem with sin even after we are saved. Our relationship to sin has changed. Pastor Don preached on that this morning. Before we are saved, we sin without even realizing it. That's just how we live our lives. After we are saved, we are no longer a slave to our sin. We sin after we are saved, because it is what we want to do. Before, there is no understanding that we're sinning at all. Afterwards, we recognize sin, but we do it anyways. Pastor Don also said this morning that it is very hard to be a Christian, and he is right. It is not easy to be set apart from the world and be in the world. But if we attack our Christian life with boldness, recognize and not get discouraged by those in the flesh that oppose us, those that hate us because we are God's children. Someone once said to me, no matter what you do in life, there's going to be somebody out there who hates you for it. It doesn't matter if you're writing a book, or you're working a job, or you're going to school, there are going to be those who hate you for it. I wasn't going to say this, but I think it applies. There is a term, as you can tell, I'm not a fan of hip-hop. But there is a term in hip-hop that I think applies here. And it's called, haters are going to hate. No matter what you do, haters are going to hate. If you are a Christian, non-Christians, those that are not saved, those that do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, they are going to hate you. What do we do in the face of that persecution? What do we do when somebody hates us because we belong to God? We love them because we love God, who loved us when we were in direct opposition to Him, when we hated God. That is why when He sent Christ for our salvation, not because He necessarily wanted to, but because He had to, because He loved us, and that was the only way to save us. Nobody in this sanctuary, myself included, can save themselves, nor can we save another. God is the only one that saves. We can be a part of that if we are lucky or blessed enough. But only God saves. Now in 1 John 4, 7 through 11, we read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is love, and at the same time, God is completely holy. We are depraved sinners. God, through His love, sent His Son to die for us so that we might have a chance at holiness, at the righteousness of Christ being imputed, being given to us, so that when God looks at us, He does not see our sin. He sees the righteousness of His Son, Christ Jesus. When we are saved, we are still dealing with our sin. We still struggle with our sin on a daily basis. There's no way we can fully know, but one strong evidence that you are saved is how much you hate the sin in your life. If we belong to God, we should hate sin so much. It should bother us. It should drive us to pray to God, to seek help from the Holy Spirit to battle with that sin every day. When I was very small, my parents took me to see a movie called The Empire Strikes Back. Maybe you've heard of it. And I was just enraptured with this film. I thought it was the greatest thing that had ever happened. And you know, they bought me all the toys, the plastic lightsabers, and I ran around the neighborhood. At that moment, I thought, you know, someday I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to go out and I'm going to make movies. And because it was a revolutionary film at the time. It was a collaborative effort between a number of people, and they faced challenges and problems, and they overcame them. So I'd run around the neighborhood with my lightsaber and thought, you know, someday I'm going to make movies. Truth be told, a couple of Christmases ago, we bought Abby some lightsabers, so I'm still running around with lightsabers, but that's besides the point. I grew up, and I went to college at Michigan State that did not have a film program at the time, but I thought, you know, I need to have something to fall back on. Psychology seemed like a safe thing to have as a fallback. I felt moved to go there, and I do not know why at the time. I did not. God had a purpose in that because God is sovereign over everything. I met Brian at Michigan State University, and Brian started telling me about Jesus, but it was more than just telling me. He lived a Christian life. He struggled with sin every day. And I got saved. And I graduated from college at Michigan State University, and I started working at Community Mental Health. It's kind of like what Caitlin is doing now. She's working with troubled youth, but I was working with troubled adults. And about 2 years in, I started to get really, really burned out. I loved the job. It was very rewarding. It was a challenge, but it was a grind. And I prayed to God. I'd only been a Christian for about 2 years, but I prayed to God and I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I'm not happy in what I'm doing. It's rewarding. I can do it. I do it well, but it's not enough. God did not speak directly to me, but I had an overwhelming sense of peace. Almost as if God was saying, I have something for you. Just be patient. And I waited. 2 years later, Brian and I are on the campus of Michigan State University. He'd taken a double major, so he was still in school and I was out. We're walking out to X Lot, and I can point to the spot we were at. When out of the blue, I turned to him and I said, dude, let's go to film school. He didn't even hesitate. He was like, all right, let's do that. So Brian and I started the lengthy process of applying to film school. Columbia College in Chicago receives 1,500 applications a year for their graduate studies program in film. And what it is, they start off with a wide net that goes all the way around the world. They grab students from Denmark, they grab potential students from China, from here, from there, from everywhere. And from that 1,500, they narrow it down to 300. that they are going to interview for the 12 spots that they have in the graduate program. Brian and I applied and we prayed to God, if this is what you want for our lives, give us a sign, let us know what we're doing. Got a letter from Columbia College. I had made the cut, and Brian had not. Brian was not hurt by that at all. I think that if the roles had been reversed at that time, I would have been a little jealous, and I told him that. He said, no, God is in control, and God is doing something here. We have to see this through to the end. Brian had the love that Paul is talking about here, the love for God, the love for a fellow brother in Christ. And he showed it. When I had my interview in Chicago, I was a wreck. You think you've seen me nervous up here? Nothing compared to that. All the way, he drove me from Michigan to Chicago for my interview. And the whole time, he's exhorting me. He's building me up. He's saying, you've got this. This is yours. The back of my mind, I'm like, no way. Not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. There are far better candidates out there than me. I went into my interview. Brian sat out in the hall and prayed the entire time. When I got out, love and encouragement. I got the letter that said that I was among the 12. And Brian was like, see, I told you. God's working. That love meant more to me than what I was doing. That showed to me, a newly minted Christian, what God does through us as Christians, how we should behave towards one another. And then I started film school. And there were two camps in film school. There were the artsies, and there were the filmmakers. And an artsy wouldn't think twice about making a film, watching somebody sleep for 5 hours, and then putting people through that. And a filmmaker wanted to make a movie that got people to think, that got people to feel something, that entertained people. And it was very difficult because it was an art college. The instructors were all off making their own films. And I felt like I was blue collar among white collar. Because while they were making films about a building for 8 hours, which is an actual Warhol film, I was working on stuff like Die Hard and Tango and Cash. I didn't fit in there at all. October of my first year rolls around. I'm on set in downtown Chicago, and I have applied for permits and gotten permission to close off an entire alleyway in the city. I'm the director on set, and Brian is my lead. And it's very cold. I thought I'd experienced cold here in Michigan, but you have not experienced cold until it's blowing off of Lake Michigan, because it cuts through you and then it runs around and cuts through you again. We're in this alleyway at 10 o'clock at night, and it is so cold. You barely feel your fingers. You feel the bones in your face freezing. And at one point I looked over at Brian, and he's just sitting there smiling at me. He's like, this is your dream. This is what God wanted you to do, and you're doing it. Isn't that a great feeling? And it was. I was in that alley because God had put me there. At one point, one of my actors who had to lay on the ground was cold. Jean Williams, who was also a Christian, she was tall, And she had been a model, and she was a writer, and just the nicest person you could know. And she had to lay on the ground on the cold cement in this alley while they rigged lights. And while they're rigging lights, that's a long process. So I said, "Jean, let me spell you. You go grab some coffee or some cocoa and sit in the heated car. And when we're ready for you, I'll come and get you." And there was a shot circulated around the school of me, a grad student, laying in an alleyway in Chicago. But what that told people was, he's got something that you don't. I had a love for a fellow Christian, a fellow human being, because of who I was in Christ at that time. Nobody else would lay on an alleyway floor for somebody. Not a grad student, not a director. After that, I no longer had to worry about finding people to act in my films or to be crew on my films, because it wasn't work, they said. They said, there's something different when we're on your set as opposed to being on someone else's set. You care about your people. You love your people. It's more than just a job for you. Even sending away our dailies, we were shooting on film, and it took 3 days to develop that film. I would turn my film in, and I would go and relax for 3 days. But there were those that would sit there and just fret and worry and fear for three solid days. Did I do this shot right? Was the composition okay? What about the colors? We got the dailies back from that first shoot. Brian and I drove down into the city to pick them up. We lived out in Westmont at the time. And we're sitting there in his car, and we're unrolling the film, and we're so excited. And I look over at Brian, and he goes, very modestly, "It's 1,000 pictures of me." God was sovereign over all of that. After my first year, I had to go before a graduate committee to decide whether or not I was allowed to continue at Columbia. And they said, "Well, we gave you straight A's in all of your classes, but we just don't think you have a handle on character. So what we want you to do is go home over the summer, write up a character synopsis, go to an acting class, and then come back, and we'll evaluate what you've written and decide whether or not you're allowed to continue here." I'm 24 years old. I've achieved my dream. I've shot on film. I've been the director. I've done everything that God wanted me to do, right? I'm done. You're going to give me homework over the summer when I've just given you straight A's? And I was faced with a decision. Do I continue on, or do I just say, you know what, you guys can keep your artsy degree. I'm going to go do something else with my life. I remember talking to my parents about it, talking to Brian about it, and talking to God about it. My parents encouraged me. They said, you do what you want to do, but don't forget about how hard you have struggled to get here. And so that summer I did what was asked of me, and I came back in the fall, and I had talked to God all summer long. And the feeling that I got from God was that there was more for me to do in Chicago. The next year, I met Rebecca. Had I left at that point and said, you know what, I've done enough, I would not have Rebecca and I would not have Abby. When you are walking with God, when you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life and you can point to it, it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does. It doesn't matter the obstacles that are in your way. The haters are going to hate, but you have God. you have the Holy Spirit, and you have love. We have a role to play that we cannot do without the Holy Spirit. When I graduated from Columbia, my family was there, Rebecca was there, Brian was there. And I remember running into one of my professors as I was turning in my cap and gown. By the way, at the graduation ceremony for a master's degree, they give you a hood. Very Jedi-like. And I remember saying to the professor who bestowed me with my hood, "Where do we go to get our lightsabers?" He said, "Get out of here, you bum." But as I was going to turn in my robe, I ran into one of my professors. And he said to me, "You have a lot of talent and you have a lot of heart, but it never makes it up onto the screen." I thought to myself, I'll take the first part, you can keep that second part. There are always going to be people who are jealous of what you have, especially if you are of God and they are not. I thanked him for the 4 years, and I turned and walked away. Because in that 4 years, I had recognized that he was not interested in the things of God. Some were not. I had shared the gospel. I had done what I could do. But there are still those that are going to hate. And that's okay. Because God is sovereign over that too. We have the Holy Spirit working in us, in our lives. We have God directing our path, the one true God. If we are saved, we are most blessed. If we are not, we have a serious, serious problem. If there are any here tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is a way that you can. And I would ask that you come and talk to either me, Pastor Don, Pastor Jameson, any of the deacons. We would be more than happy to share that with you. We have a wonderful God. Jesus ascended, and Jesus will one day return. And as Pastor Don said this morning, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He also used Philippians 1:6, which I have here in my notes, that were written before he started preaching this morning. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is not over. We still have more that we can do. We still have a daily battle with sin, but we can overcome that because we have God, we have his Son, we have the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. They will not leave us nor forsake us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence in our lives, your word. I would pray that we continue to walk with you, that you would continue to guide and direct our paths, that we repent of our sins to you, and you are just and right to forgive us. Pray that those that are lost will find you, that you will save them if it is your will. Bless us as we go and as we sing the song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.